It's a low budget, folks. Welcome to Black Hat 2017, Security Guy Radio, SecurityGuyTV.com, with Matthew from MIMEcast.
Yes.
And what's your last name?
Gardner.
Now, what is MIME? And I played a MIME once in a college movie.
Nothing to do with that.
I know. It doesn't have anything to do with that, but I like the name. It intrigued me.
Yeah.
Mimicking, making, you know, copying something. Tell us what you guys do.
It's more about MIME types on email. So if you follow email, how an attachment is determined, what it is, whether it's a doc or a PDF, it's a MIME type. But what we do is email security as a cloud service. And so we service customers of all sizes from the cloud, inspecting their inbound, outbound, and internal email for threats.
So if I use Google, is that going to work, or do I have to use a mail service? So any mail service will work.
Whether it's in the cloud or on-premises. Although, of course, these days, many people are moving to Office 365 or Google Suite.
Are we going back to Office? Because it was the thing to use, right? Microsoft Outlook, right?
Yeah.
And then I started getting the online Office, and that seemed to be...
Office 365,
yeah.
Sure.
So is still Google the number one?
No, in the business world, it's definitely Office 365.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in small companies or in schools, education, municipalities, some use Google. But Office 365 is a tidal wave that's actually transforming what you need to do for security, which is sort of where we come
excellent.
In.
Excellent. Okay, great. Yeah. Now, how do you guys protect this? What's different on your layer from what Microsoft does?
Well, I mean, what we are is a gateway. So basically, a customer will send their inbound and their outbound and actually even their internal email through us before it gets to Office 365 or Exchange if they're running on premises.
Right.
And we inspect it. We inspect it for spam. We inspect it for spoofed emails, impersonations. We inspect it for bad attachments, for bad malicious URLs. All the ways, basically, or most of the ways, anyway, attacker would come in and try to affect you through email.
How do you maintain the database of bad IP addresses?
Well, it's not a static thing like that. It's not all about blacklists. It's about, for example, if an attacker creates a malicious attachment targeted at a certain company, we run it through a sandbox before we deliver it. So we determine whether it's safe or not. So we do use blacklists, but it's also active analysis on email. And we do it relatively quickly so that we're not in the way, essentially, of the delivery of the email.
I remember back in the day we used Outlook. Where you could share Outlook in the office? It was a different type of server. I forgot what they called it.
Exchange.
Yeah. Slowed everything down back in the day,
Yeah, and many times it wasn't because of Exchange itself. It was because of all the security and archiving services you wrapped around it. And so when people move to the cloud, you still need the same kind of archiving, security, and continuity services that you built on premises, but now you can get it as a cloud service, which is, cost effective, easier, particularly for small and medium businesses.
What are you finding is what is MIMEcast finding as the number one identifiable threat or vulnerability that's coming across nowadays in email?
Well, I mean, obviously email is it. That's the one, that's the vehicle that attackers use. And they use it, in en masse in sort of spammy attacks, but probably more dangerous is their very targeted attacks. And some of the hardest ones to detect and stop are what are called impersonations or business email compromise, where they don't send malware, they don't send malicious URLs, they just send a request that looks like it's from your boss or from your partner or from your accountant or whatever. You think it's them, they're asking you to send them something like money or data.
Mattel got hit with that, $1 million.
Many companies have been hit, and high tech companies get hit because employees are busy, they use their email often as their work queue, and they're trying to get jobs done quickly, and they don't always understand that email can be risky. And so they'll send off W-2s or they'll send off a wire transfer because it looks legit. It isn't, but it looks legit.
Now, do you find that these sort of, I'm going to call it an attack. I guess it's kind of an attack, right? Are they more prevalent than the malicious ones that want to shut you down and, like denial of service and that kind of thing? It sounds like people are being nice at hacking nowadays. In other words,
they want your money.
They just want your money.
Yeah, I mean, 80% of the time,
get away.
It's money. Yeah. I mean, you hear reports of, attacks that blow up your data or, obviously ransomware is for money. Attacks that are, spying on you. But the vast majority of cyber criminals are interested in money. And so everything is about either monetizing it directly through ransomware or monetizing by stealing your data or credit card information and then using that to get money.
Yeah.
So you have to worry about all of them, but for, you know, if you had to randomly pick, it's about money almost all the times.
What about the increase of IP, so intellectual property theft? So for example, on an M&A transaction, a hacker who's working for the enemy camp wants to obtain particular IP data sets. How do you prevent that from happening? How long does it take you to review the email and then either green light it or red light it?
Well, it usually takes, you know, milliseconds to maybe as much as minutes, depending on what we're actually inspecting. But, you know, there's like a funnel effect. You look at the simple things first, and you look at the more sophisticated attacks later down the funnel, and you're sort of throwing things out of the funnel that look malicious or that are, you know, that at least need to be quarantined. So you do that as efficiently as you can, and ultimately, the more targeted it is, generally the more harder it is to detect because it's been crafted specifically for that receiver. So is it a good email or not a good email? So the things you can do instead of blocking it, you can flag it as suspicious and say, hey, Mr. User, please use due diligence here.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
There might be something wrong with this. We don't know if we should block it or not, but beware. And if you're, you know, able to initiate a wire transfer or, you know, pull W-2 data for your employees, you know, hopefully you do a little bit more diligence to find out whether the request is legitimate.
If you're going to give me a number of all your clients, how many malicious things do you find a day?
Malicious things, millions a day.
We're
siphoning through billions of emails,
right.
And it's definitely millions. Most of them are fairly spammy, broad-based,
right.
Less hard to detect, but a lot of them are, you know, in the hundreds or thousands a day are these impersonation attacks.
Wow.
Where, you know, it's I'm your boss, please, I need you to immediately wire money to this vendor X, and, you know, vendor X he sent you wire instructions that it's not to vendor X, it's to the attacker, but you got to work really, do it immediately,
right?
Because we're in a rush here, and of course it's the attacker,
right?
And you respond, the user will respond saying, you sure you want me to do this? The attacker says, I'm absolutely certain I want you to do this.
Who's the bad actors? Any countries that are bad actors that come up to mind, or anything you have stats on for that?
Not really stats, but, you know, when you talk about nation states,
yeah.
You certainly see the, you know, the Russias, the Chinas, the North Koreas. But, you know, it's hard to attribute in many cases because, you know, you don't necessarily run the attack right from your North Korean server. You run
right.
It from some, you know, some housing, you know, hosting service somewhere else. But, you know, again, most of the attacks are, you know, mid-level cyber criminals looking for cash, and they're, you know, using ransomware, or they're using IP theft to get to it.
Can a small business afford you?
Absolutely. That's one of our sweet spots, really,
is
small and medium.
Excellent.
The move to the cloud opens up a lot of opportunities for, you know, more granular service offerings, more cost-effective. You know, you don't have to buy hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gear. In fact, you buy $0 worth of gear
right.
to use, you know, our cloud service. And so it sort of democratizes a key security control, which I think is a critical issue for industry.
What keeps you up at night? What do you worry about?
The maturity level of organizations, which sort of relates to the small and medium. You know, there's sort of the 1%, 99% problem in the security defense world. The vast majority of investments by vendors and by companies are to the 1%. The people that are the banks, you know, the federal government
right.
agencies, Department of Defense. 99% of the world can't afford that. They don't have the people. They don't have the investment capital.
99%. Wow, that is something to worry about.
And so it's, you know, the world is very dependent on IT and very vulnerable to attack. And
yeah.
So how do we democratize security controls? Mm-hmm. Is really, you know, is an opportunity and a concern I have.
And on that note, in terms of, you know, working with government agencies, you collect so much rich data.
Yeah.
And so obviously you're able to see patterns.
Yes.
To what extent do you work with industry associations or agencies to increase the data sharing between private and public sectors?
Yeah. So we obviously have to be careful with that because we're essentially collecting your email.
Mm-hmm.
And without getting into too many details, we share it with ISACs. We would disclose vulnerabilities and exploits to certs. There's commercial threat aggregators that we have relationships with. We just have to we're very careful about not sharing personally identifiable information
sure.
of our customers.
Yeah.
But the attackers, what infrastructure they're using, hashes of their malware, all that's free game, and we share it, and they share back with us. And so it really makes this threat intel sharing you know, we're only really cracking the surface of what's needed and possible. But
so
it's
Matthew,
a big
every
part.
Show I decide if I feel safer or less safe when a guest comes on. I feel more safe.
Good.
I like it. I'm worried.
You should be. Yeah.
Had a billion hits, but it sounds like Mimecast is doing a great job keeping track of all that. So
thank you. We're working hard.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio with Black Cat 2017, my friend. I appreciate a great interview. Thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Thank you.